This is the Believe Georgia Dog Podcast on the Believe Podcast Network.
Joe Cox with an up and out. Wide open. Touchdown. Israel Truth.
Snap to Young. Drops back. Pressure from the edges. He throws near sideline. And it's intercepted. Keely Ringo at the 21. Off he goes. 40, 50, 45, 40, 35, 30. Near sideline. Breaks the tackle. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown. 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 Georgia.
Good evening, neighborhood. How about them dogs?
32, 18. Let the celebration begin.
And celebration indeed. Welcome in. It's Believe in Georgia Dogs podcast on the Believe Network. Joining me, as always, is my main man, fresh off a bye week himself. Ware County's back in action this week. It's Israel Troop. What's up?
What up? Let me first start by saying, in case anybody's wondering, Brock Bowers is the best tight end in the nation. He was the best tight end last year, and no disputing that he's best this year as well.
Well, if there's any doubt now, I think it's just somebody living under a rock at this point. So,
yeah,
and if there's any doubt about Stetson Bennett.
Stetquavious, baby, with the fresh.
Stetquavious Vic. Yeah.
Stetquavious Vic.
We'll get into that here. We'll get into that thing here in just a second. Oh, yeah.
Good.
Oh, yeah. Dude was looking fresh on the sidelines, as always. So, but also, as always, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports, contests, and events with first-to-market odds and lines. Find your reviews and news for every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, golf, and most importantly, college football. So, BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information, from live in-game betting, props, and futures. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to join today. Make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50, that's B-L-E-A-V 50, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, that's where the game starts. So, the aforementioned, the mentions of Brock Bowers and Stetquavious and this tight fade. Let's get into that. We're going to recap recap yesterday's game. Dogs roll into Columbia, South Carolina. They roll out of there with a 48-7 victory. The defensive starters still have not given up a touchdown. Brock Bowers had a hat trick. Stetquavious had two scores himself, and then they were filled in with miscellaneous people. I think Kendall Milton had one, Oscar Delp had one, and I think McIntosh had one, if I'm not mistaken. So, and if I left you out, I apologize, but I think Ladd McConkey had one too. So watching that game, was I a little worried that Spencer Rattler might find it after that first pass? He threw that dime, and I was like, okay, well, he might be a little juiced up on this first drive, but that won't last. And then the very next play, he throws a really bad interception. Spencer Rattler was everything we advertised, and I know you're not one to criticize. I try not to be, but it was brutal for South Carolina for Spencer Rattler.
You know, I tweeted yesterday, I'm never one of the best players. I've been on the other side of that. It's not fun, and you know that's what we do. You know, we as athletes, no matter who you play for, you know, we all look out for each other, one way or another. But like I tweeted yesterday, he just doesn't understand the concept. You know what I mean?
Right.
Today, kind of similar run, you know, with a hitch and a speed out. You know, there were guys open yesterday. I mean, let's, you know, our zone coverage. In man coverage, we play man in our zone coverage. There are a few holes, but nothing too agreed, you know what I mean? But there was a couple times yesterday that could have hit, you know, like a slant or – they ran underneath a sweep out to his right hand side that he missed. He missed a hitch on third down that he could have hit. The one screen through, you know, if he leaves the guy, I think Keely Ringo right on fourth down. If he leads the guy, I mean, he probably would sleep because there was nobody on that side of the field. So Rattler's got some soul searching to do. I mean, either that don't game, they didn't put him in really good situations, you know, either. But at the same time, I think if the concept, the play, I think he'll be fine. I think he understands where everything's going when it all happens, when it all unfolds, is what it looks to me.
Yeah, man, I think just everything moves too fast for him. And I think, you know, once you kind of upgraded, even coming from the Big 12 to the SEC, I think once you kind of started throwing some of those defenses at him, I mean, this is probably – this speed of this Georgia defense is probably something he has never seen, even when he was going against his own scout team in Oklahoma, even when they played against Texas and some of the, you know, the Baylors and the Iowa States of the world, the teams that play really good defense in that league. I don't think he saw anything close to what he saw yesterday. And a lot of his mistakes also were, I think he was feeling the pressure and he was panicking a little bit. I think he got spooked on a couple of throws. That one interception, I think he had more time than he thought. And that's just kind of what these Georgia pressures do to you. I mean, you see Nolan Smith bearing down on you, see Jalen Carter pushing the pocket. You feel like you can't go anywhere and you have to get rid of the ball and you're not really comfortable. And that's one thing this defense does a really good job of is they force errors. And Spencer Rattler's not a bad quarterback. He's just somebody that I think his ego gets in the way a little bit. And I don't think he prepares as much as he should because of his ego.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, that goes hand in hand with like I said, not understanding the concepts, you know, in the Big 12, I mean, you have some athletic players, but most of the four downs, you might get an odd sack look every once in a while, but those linemen aren't as athletic as they are in the SEC. Secondary is not as athletic as they are in the SEC. You said, I mean, his head's spinning. I mean, you got guys running at you left and right, coverages. And it, like you say, it goes back to preparation. If you go back and look at film, you know, if you're really studying Georgia, I think got to get a beat on him just a little bit. Of course, they always have a trick up their sleeve, but the base what they do to where this play is called. I know where, you know, the wheel right through to start. I mean, that was dumb. There's absolutely no reason why you did that pick. Went to right, and he looked left, and he threw the wheel route, which was late, and we had great coverage, and we picked the ball off. The dime he threw to Jaheim, shout out to Jaheim Bell, it was absolutely great. We had coverage on that, too. He just threw a perfect ball to that guy. But still, he missed the reach. You know what I mean? So he's a study. I think he's prepared better. Do I think he's the guy for South Carolina? Absolutely. They are a different team on the field. But if he's not going to put the time in to work and to understand and to study, then I think move on. Like you say, saying, I remember watching him with Lee Levin. I was like, this kid, he has talent in the world. But to get him, and it has definitely caught up. Because let me tell you this, South Carolina fans are very nice, and they aren't happy.
No, they're not happy at all. They're not happy with Beamer. They're not happy with Satterfield, who apparently is the in their crosshairs right now, not putting them in good situations, especially like trying to run right into the teeth of the defense on third and short, things like that. Like things that they could do as a coaching staff to help Spencer Rattler out, they're not doing.
Yeah. You're going to run right at our defensive linemen who absolutely mammoth. They're just moving people. Like, it's like, excuse me, I'm trying to make this tackle, and you're impeding my press. That's literally what it looked like the other day. There was no option. There was no RPOs type deal. There was nothing. We were just trying to hit them. And
it's almost like they were coaching scared a little bit too as well, and they looked shook. And so it trickles down when you look shook as a coaching staff, it's going to come across as shook, and that's what it came out as. But defensively as well, I don't think they had a good game plan. I think they played too soft in coverage. I don't think they committed enough to the box. I don't think they were able to get a beat on Todd Monken, and Monken definitely has tendencies. And I think if you really study on film, like you should as an SEC defensive staff, you could probably find those tendencies and at least call a good run blitz here and there, or call a good, you know, at least call good situational football and say, okay, you want your superior athletes to go make a play. Well, here you go. We're going to make it tough on you. But it didn't seem that way. In Oregon, same way. Like, Dan Lanning didn't have good preparation. Shane Beamer and his defensive staff did not have good preparation for what Georgia brought to him offensively. And it showed. I mean, you had the one reverse to Brock Bowers. That was kind of a tricky deal. But, I mean, Brock Bowers scored a 78-yard seam route. He just got popped on the seam at like 6 yards and then took it to the house, you know, the rest of the way for 78 and a score. And then they run a and then Stetquavius throws an absolute dime to Brock Bowers on another one where, I mean, it was perfectly defended. The guy couldn't do anything about it. Double toe tapped. And then, you know, I thought the run game was strong again. The offensive line said, you know what? We're just gonna throw this thing on our back, man, and we're gonna go, man. Like it feels like this offensive line, more so than last year's, just enjoys road grading people, and they don't care if they get any attention or not.
They really enjoy beating a lot of people. They enjoy. There's nothing like watching a lineman just bury somebody and then just rub his thing all over his face when he's getting up. There's something beautiful about that when it's your team that's getting that done. And our offensive line, they absolutely love doing that. You know, going back to Todd Monken and his tendencies, I mean, when they go formation, that what I call ace nasty, with the tight look, 2x2, it's either going to be a couple of things. It's either going to be a jet sweep, it's either going to be reverse, they'll orbit and run zone behind it. They will run outside zone to it. So that's four plays, four or five I just named off by that one for you. So you've got to have something that's top that. I think Dan Lanning was surprised at some of the stuff that he did out of those looks. They really never adjusted. Yeah. You know, Dan Lanning is a great defensive mind. So I think they were prepared. They just did to what they were doing.
I felt like he was shell-shocked.
At all. What we were doing.
Yeah, it just didn't seem like they did. I mean, maybe it was the same thing as Oregon. They get out there and they're shell-shocked because the offensive line is just ruining all of their preparation. And it's pretty safe to say that Amarius Mims and Broderick Jones are – I mean, that's our tackles, right?
Absolutely. I mean, Mims
– I mean, those two – I saw 65 in the game a lot.
Yeah, I don't think Stetson touched, you know, as a pressure.
I think he did a couple times. I think he did a couple times. I think he did on the first series – I think his first throw, I think he was flushed. And then he just completed the dive. But it's one of those where
he should have gotten the ball off. He took that off, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that was probably more on Stetson.
Our offense,
but it's the SEC. You're going to get some pressure sometimes, right? Or at least you expect to.
Absolutely. Because,
you know, they have scholarship players too.
Oh, yeah. Yesterday was just great. I think the telltale of the night, I think when we scored, we went up 14-9. And I saw Beamer on his headset. I think he was telling his defensive guys, he was like, guys, don't do that. Stop. I'm pretty sure they were on his headset. Because that was not a very good defensive series. The one thing that I noticed the other day is that Dejon Edwards running back at seeing stuff. He has to move a lot of that group right now because a couple of players running zone and stuff like that. I think if there's just one cut that, you know, Milton or especially Milton, if he makes one house, you know, I think we're running with a hand a little bit. You know, and it's just one of those things to where you just get a push. I mean, you can be short down yards, things like that. But I think if you make one move, you know, that thing's to the house. You know what I mean? I think Edwards right now, or hey, Brandon's seeing it really well too. We got a stable of backs that can do a lot of great things. Love the way they're
That's four guys right there that can do something.
He's on it, especially in the. I love a bat that can catch. You know, anytime you get a running ball, I mean, now you're playing.
It's just
six guys because
it's a weapon. Can run the ball. Yeah. I mean, it's a freaking weapon, and Stetson can sling it, man. He's this team. was expected to go out and win by 24.5 as the number one team in the country, and they doubled up on that. Yeah. I mean, it's just and people are just like, I think people are finally in awe. They're just like, okay, all right, we need to stop. Georgia's the best team, hands down. Let's just stop this argument. Georgia, it's Georgia's season right now. And a lot of people are starting to realize that, even with Alabama sitting there 3-0. But Alabama has just kind of – they have some problems of their own with their coordinators. You know, they're struggling a little bit. So I just think when you look at this Georgia team, they are hitting on all cylinders at this moment. Now, as we get into the meat of the schedule, will it be the same? There'll be some bumps along the way. There'll be some tight games that shouldn't be tight games with some teams like Tennessee, Kentucky, even Florida. That one's always an exciting one. I think getting Tennessee as late as we're getting Tennessee and getting Kentucky as late as we're getting Kentucky, those two games are a little nerve-wracking. We learned some things about Auburn this weekend. They're hot garbage. Mississippi State, they crumbled, but they're still a pretty good team, and they will get better as the season wears on. So the schedule is not easy. I mean, when you play in the SEC, it never is. But this is probably the most complete, and this is after last year's generational defense that sent almost 15 people. I think some of those guys were offense, but I think they sent 11 people to the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
You know, between reserves. I mean, it's absurd. You know, what they sent.
I saw, I want to say it was Seth, I think you made a reference to Alabama. He said that although you hate to do it, Alabama is the mecca football teams in college football. If you look, we're building dynasty. You know, it's not one of those things while last year was a fluke. I mean, we beat Oregon. Very, very good ranked team. We just beat Sacramento. We've never beat South Carolina like that before. In the history of South Carolina versus Georgia, that game's always close, especially over there. And we, Bryce, and we just completely made them quit.
We made them quit. We made their student section empty before halftime.
Like the whole of the stadium was done.
I was astounded. I'm like, good Lord. Like, and then, you know, you got Kirby over there going, first down, mother, you know, yelling at Beamer. That was, I mean, another gif from Kirby.
I mean, it's, you know, it's sportsmanship is competition. You know, he's a very competitive guy.
Yeah.
And goes out there and reaches the ball over the goal line, you think any collided, you know, hey, great effort. He's talking about putting us on the football. He snatched that gun, water bottle out of the water boy's hand to demonstrate what he wanted. You know what I mean? So, you know, he's coaching himself. And, you know, you see a lot of people that are like, why don't he just relax? You can't relax. If you relax, then your team relaxes. You know, I tweeted that as well. You know, when complacency, you know, leads the media. And I know Kirby Smart does not want that. So, you know, he got his foot on their neck, and they're responding. That's the thing. Nobody's bitching or complaining, you know, but they're responding.
Because at the end of the day, they know why it's happening.
Yeah, they know their why.
The proof is in the pudding, and he has far demonstrated the why, and they believe it, and they believe in him.
Yeah, he's working his tail off. He's coaching his tail off. His staff has done a phenomenal job. There's one thing to, you know, we're Georgia, you know, we got all these guys, but it's another thing to put all the pieces together, you know, and make it work. And it is coaching staff, defense, special teams, often, you know, those guys are working their tails off on the full job and the products on the field. You know what I mean? So we have a lip, you know, and I doubt that will ever happen as of right now. You know,
as of right now, yeah. I mean, next week.
So,
yeah. And we'll jump into that here in a little bit. Exactly. We'll see kind of what what we get with that. But we're gonna wrap the South Carolina conversation. We're gonna put that one to bed. An impressive 48-7 win in Columbia, South Carolina, a place that is usually a house of horrors for the Dogs. It was that way for the South Carolina Gamecocks as that place emptied out and it became nothing but Georgia fans in the second half. So let's talk about some other games before we move into Kent State. What other games were you able to watch this weekend?
I watched a lot of them. I tried to catch the Florida game. The snooze fest. The LSU Mississippi State game was really intriguing to me. Brian Kelly,
really good first half.
It bothers me that Brian Kelly just stands there and doesn't say anything, or maybe it's just when the camera's on, he doesn't say anything. But I think he's got the team rolling right now. You know, as far we're not gonna quit. You know what I mean? And they didn't quit against Florida State. They didn't quit against Mississippi State. So there's something good going on over there. You know. Get a big win in Death Valley at time, which I thought that Mississippi State would pull it off, but the time game in Baton Rouge, so I knew that crowd would be up. And Daniels played his butt off. I mean, that kid, LSU, heading in the right direction. They're going to be here in a minute, you know.
They are. So. They will be. I'm not sure how soon, because they've got some fundamental things to iron out. I still think they're sloppy in a lot of areas. Mm-hmm. But the most important quality, you said it best, they don't quit. They do not quit, and that's one thing that no matter how bad they may look at times, they will not quit. And will teams like Alabama, Arkansas, even maybe A&M, will they pounce on some of those opportunities? They probably will, and they'll probably lose a couple more that they shouldn't because of that. But it won't be because they quit. It won't be because the wheels fell off. Like, the wheels won't fall off for them. They will stay in every single game. Like, Florida State should have blown them out with all the mistakes that they made.
Absolutely.
But the resiliency of that defense kept them in it. Same with Mississippi State. Yeah. Mississippi State had an opportunity to go up, I think, 21-0.
21-0.
And it was I think it ended up being like 9-6 at halftime or something like that.
Yeah.
Or 13-6 or something. Like 13. No, it was 13-7, I think, at halftime. They cashed in on one of the opportunities. I think it was 13-0 at one point. But like LSU's defense, they must have stopped them on like 6 4th-and-1s.
Yeah.
Like, it was something ridiculous. So
that was the first time
that game was intriguing.
Kind of get a little nervous, you know.
You saw the good, the bad, and the ugly of the air raid offense, right?
Yeah.
Like, the situations that they were put into.
Mm-hmm.
Like, with the air raid offense, there's not really a good answer, because a lot of the passing game is vertical, and there's not much run game at all. Like, there's 20% run game, I think, and most of your pass stuff is vertical.
When you're third and long, you're just going. That leaves a lot of blitzes. You have a really good job playing man. So you got to have good receivers that can get open. One thing that he did do, once he got up on LSU, he kind of just laid off, so that allowed him to come back. That allowed defense to get comfortable. If you allow LSU's defense to get comfortable, they're going to beat you. You know, they're going to figure out a way. I think he'll learn from this.
Well,
I think Mississippi State's got a really good football team.
Well, then he allowed them to get momentum by getting stopped on 4th-and-1.
Yeah.
You can't do that either. They just started gaining steam, and then at some point I was like, "Yeah, this is like the first drive out of halftime with Jaden Daniels. He took it down there and they scored." I was like, "Okay, this one's over." I knew right then and there. I was like, "It got loud." When you wake that stadium up, it ain't good. if you're gonna put that stadium to bed, you have to put them to bed.
They've been ready for LSU to play the ball, and it happened.
They've been dying for it, man. So how about our boy Herm Edwards getting fired?
I saw that today. Scott Frost got fired. Herm Edwards is not fired. Jeff Collins still has a job. Tell me how.
Well, they can't afford to fire him. That's probably how that happened. They don't have the money for his buyout.
Look, bro.
That's Georgia Tech being way in the red.
Yeah.
They can't afford to. Like, they literally can't afford to. I think they would have fired him last year. Yeah. But they can't.
I think
like,
he's got their coordinator too. Oh, wait, that's Jimbo. They do not look good on offense.
They didn't. They got lucky that Miami didn't either.
Miami had so many opportunities, but they didn't seize them. They had a chance to win that football game the other night.
And they just ruined it.
Defense has got it. Hey, look, bro. Like, we need y'all to score. Like, we can't keep going out here like three and out.
Yeah, we can't play 90 plays and expect us to win. It's like Falcons in the Super Bowl. That game happened.
Nursery rhymes, right? And it's like that thick. That's what is on the sidelines. And you mean to tell me out of this notebook of stuff you have?
No. His notebook looks like this. I mean, it looks like this. You got papers all in it. Like, you got some loose, some not. And he's trying to thumb through it. He's like, what am I doing? He did it again. Like, he's got to get more organized.
Bro, he's struggling.
Like I can tell you right now, you got one guy who uses this as his play card, as his play sheet. Mm-hmm. And every once in a while, I think he just doodles on it to make people think he's writing on it. And then you got Jimbo.
All those guys that came from the Leach tree, Linkley, Leach himself. What's his name? I'm looking right at him. Arizona right now. Yeah.
Kingsbury.
He uses it.
I think he has a big play sheet. I think he has a bigger play sheet just because it's
Lincoln Riley's brother. Who's at TCU even uses the paper. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Then you go out there.
Sonny Cumbie, I think, uses. Yeah. And can't he goes out there with a hole. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Like, your defense is good enough. If you score 21, you're going to win.
Yeah.
But you can't score. But you know who can score? Appalachian State. So, do you guys work on the Hail Mary tip drill?
No, we don't do a tip drill. It is – but it is a knock the ball down. And for us, offensively, it is get it at the high it's not a tip to the other guy. It is our guy who can just ball everybody, kind of box everybody out. Somebody else almost lost like that too. Oh, Florida State. They almost gave a touchdown to the end. But knock the guys. If any DBs, any coaches, coach DBs, knock the ball down. Don't try to pick it. Knock it down.
Mm-hmm.
Away from everybody. I mean,
just volleyball spike that thing.
Yes. There's nothing in rules that say you can't do that in the middle of play.
No. And I think when a ball goes into a sea of hands and nobody spikes it, it just bounces. And the guy just happened to be right there. And he said, okay, I'm going to watch this thing. And he's like, I'm going to stand right here. I'm gonna play it like an outfielder in the major leagues. He played it off the wall, took it, and scored. That was insane.
Yep, I always go back, Josh Dobbs against us. We had the game won. Lorenzo Carter goes up, just knocked the ball down. He tries to hit, and Tennessee come with it. pretty much saved Butch Jones because I'm pretty sure he was going to get fired had they lost that game.
Yeah, he was done. He was either done or he was a dead man walking. Man, I think Jeff Collins is a dead man walking. I just don't think that they had the buyout money for him just yet. I think Brian Harsin's a dead man walking.
They're struggling, man. I don't know what's going on with Tech. They got recruits. I don't know.
I tell you what's going on at Georgia Tech. He's all about the brand. Like, pretend this is a Waffle House Cup for 1 minute. Like, he's all about the brand. He's all about doing the goofy stuff.
That just doesn't work. I'm here to win football. When I become a head coach, you know, I'm all for community, and we got to do this, that, and the but. I'm here to win football games. Get my kids to graduate, get them to go to school, tour in the workforce, become great. So I can feed my family. I'm here to win football games. That's what I'm here to do.
Here to build a program, not to build a marketing team, which is what I think. I think if he went somewhere to be a director of recruiting, he'd be great.
Oh, absolutely.
But not as a head football coach, and especially not at a place that requires you to transition from flex bone spread option to standard spread.
Yeah, principles. You're not Atlanta, bro. Like, you can't win football games. You know, but you like I said, I'm not here to bash anybody because we are in this profession as well. But
we are.
We all put our guys' situation to succeed, and I don't think Georgia Tech's doing that.
No, I don't, and you know, if Jeff Collins is listening to this, I don't know if he does or not, but I certainly don't think he does. But if anybody knows Jeff Collins out there, I mean, he's got to. I think that, you know, in his next stop, it didn't work out here. You know, he's got some good football in him. He did it at Temple. He figured out a way at Temple. Maybe that's his ceiling. Maybe he's a G5 guy. Yeah, maybe he's a coordinator at Florida. Maybe he, you know, maybe he goes somewhere. Maybe he goes to the MAC conference and wins, or maybe he goes to the Fun Belt, like Butch Jones, like his counterpart there, Butch Jones, and maybe he can latch on and have a successful run with somebody. Who knows?
I think he needs to go to Saban or the Kirby Smart School of Head Coaching.
Yes,
and then, that is in his best.
And get spit back out to wherever, like Absolutely. FIU or somewhere, you know, so somewhere that needs that, somewhere that needs his skill set, where they just need energy and life into the program before they can do anything else. That's what he brings. That's what he brought to Georgia Tech. There was an excitement there when he got there. Excitement is no longer there, but the 404 thing was good. The excitement around, okay, we got some fresh ideas. Okay, that was good. Just never really took the next step. Felt like he was always using that, hey, we're still transitioning from the Paul Johnson stuff.
Like, you're the win ball games. Like, yeah. All that's great and well, but you're the win football games. Yeah. So, I mean, there's that. Now, Kentucky on the other hand, Coach Stoops, that group is doing them in Tennessee are going to be scary. Have you seen them, boys?
Yeah. Okay. Hypel and Stoops, man.
There's going to be some really good games moving forward, man. I'm looking forward to that. My wife
Tennessee's
got
Florida this week.
Tennessee games.
Oh, there
you go. We're going to watch that in person. Shout out to my wife because she's awesome.
There you go.
So I'm hoping that Tennessee is.
Shout out to her Knowles. There you go.
So that's good. It's going to be deep in after that, buddy. Let me tell you.
Yeah, absolutely. And finally, Dino Babers is having some success at Syracuse, having the success that we knew he could have at
Dino
Syracuse.
With the win at Purdue. Purdue are about three players away from being really good, you know, at football. They can score with anybody. Secondary guy, a linebacker, and a lineman away from being really, really good at football. But Syracuse, they're balling now. And shout out to Dino Babers because, I mean, nobody thought he'd do it except for us. Had hopes for him. And he's
when he first got that job, I don't think we knew each other. But I was a Dino Babers believer when he was when he got hired from Bowling Green, because Bowling Green was lighting the freaking MAC on fire.
Yeah.
So that's yeah, awesome. hats off to Dino. It was not a great day for the Big Ten West or the Big Ten East. Northwestern goes down. Indiana gets shelled by Western Kentucky. I think Rutgers struggled.
They barely won the game.
I think they ended up winning, but they struggled. Nebraska got their heads kicked in. Iowa, I don't know if I scored a touchdown yet on offense.
First 7 minutes at that Nebraska game. Uh-oh, here they go. They might make it a little bit closer. Mm-hmm. And then the wheels fell off.
Then they fired their defensive coordinator. And somehow Kirk Ferentz and Brian Ferentz still have a job too. They're daring their athletic director to fire them. They're playing chicken and they're winning. They go, yeah, Gary Barta, fire us.
Somebody.
And if you want to listen to some more Iowa talk, tune in on Tuesday to Illegal Motion, or tune into our next episode of Illegal Motion. We have an Iowa guy on there. He's on the panel, Josh Cook, and he has been going off for 2 years now about Iowa and Brian Ferentz and the lack of offense there. So that's going to be a fun episode Tuesday night. So make sure you check that out when it gets dropped. So be on the lookout for that one. So we're gonna put week.
Great too,
they could be. Yes. They could be. Like, they produced T.J. Hockenson, Noah Fant. They produced Kittle, George Kittle, Dallas Clark. I mean, they've had some pretty good quarterbacks come through.
Their secondary is usually good. I mean,
yeah, like, you know, they had Amani Hooker come out. Their secondary, they've had some good defensive linemen. I mean, they have some good pieces, and they recruit that whatever Tornado Alley breadbasket area really, really well. But they do nothing with it. There's some culture problems, some major culture problems, and I Kirk Ferentz should have been let go probably two seasons ago. They won't do it. I think he's got some really bad photos of Gary Barta, like doing something that he shouldn't be doing in Thailand or something. I don't know if you catch my drift. So, but that's week three. It wasn't exciting as week two, but it was. It's college football, so it's always fun. If you want to join in on the chat, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Jump in. If you're watching us on social media, go to our YouTube channel. If you want to become a part of the chat, like our man Robert Reynolds from the DGD podcast, he's in the chat. Come join him. We're gonna talk moving forward. We're gonna make our picks here. And some of these games, we're going to go in a little bit more extended preview just because it's fun. Georgia's playing Kent State this weekend. They're 45-point favorites. That's a tall spread right there. I don't know if Nick Saban has any eligibility left for Kent State, but they're going to need it. And again, Georgia will probably cover that. I don't know if they will or not. They may get bored like they did against Samford, but – who knows? So
I think Kirby was trying to hold off again for Chris Hatcher. So you didn't want to run it up on him, but Kent State for a game.
Yep, doesn't know you. He doesn't know you. So what are your expectations going into this game? I know it's like, okay, we had a conference game. Okay, we're gonna finally, and then it's Kent State. Like, what do you you know? Again, another big game followed by Samford. Mm-hmm. Big game on the road, South Carolina, first conference game. You're not sure if Spencer Rattler. We blow them out. Boom, Kent State. Does the momentum stay up with the team? Is it going to be one of those where Kirby's going to be grumpy all game because we're not playing up to the standard? Or, like, what are you expecting to see? You know, what do you think we'll see versus what are you wanting to see?
I'm expecting us to come out, you know, with a little fire up under us. I don't think that against Samford we could be a whole lot better. Throws, you know, they had a terrible week of practice offensively, so obviously that's why. I think that Kirby's that happened two times in a row. Again, you know, non-conference opponent. I think we could obviously, but what I really want to see, I know we can throw it. I know Brock's going to have a day. McConkey's going to have a day. Our receivers have a day. But I want to see our runners get busy. I want to see us, you know, make some moves, juke some people, you know, big long runs, things like that. You know, I was reading about Eric Gilbert, trying to get back into, you know, college mode, being on campus, kind of doing the Georgia way. Hopefully, you know, he figures it out and he can play, because if he comes, another weapon that we can use as well. You know, but I want to see defensively, I want to see us play zone better. I think this is a great way to, you know, kind of work on our zone stuff. Kent State throw the ball a little bit. It's great. We kind of, you know, fine tune our zone stuff, zone blitz and things like that, kind of mix up our looks. Because you can't play man.
No, you can't.
That's really it. But most importantly, I want to see our run easy, man. I'm ready to see Milton and McIntosh and Edwards and Bradley, those guys just break up big runs. You know, somebody.
I want to see. Yeah, there's opportunities. Yeah, absolutely. I want to see those. I want to see that 60-yard touchdown sprint on inside zone. Right.
Running with your hand, you know, trying to see the whole bounce off. Like Swift and the Michelles of yesteryear, you know, tied with those guys, you know. Just kind of get busy.
Right, it was a potential house call every play, yeah.
Let's go.
Let's get it, man. And I want to see the starting offense be on all cylinders so that we can get Stetson out of the game quickly, get Carson Beck some more work, because if something, God willing, happens to Stetson Bennett, we have a capable backup, which I think Carson Beck is. He's playing really well. He's dialed in. But I also want to get work for Vandegrift. I want to see Gunnar Stockton get into a game and see what he can do. Like, I want to get to the point where – but he can still play in, like – he can still play
in, like – oh, this is game four. This one.
It doesn't. I don't think it's in the first four. I just think it matters. Like, he can keep his redshirt if he hadn't played in more than four games total. I think that's the change. I think that was one of the changes where, like, you had to decide by week four if they were redshirted or not. I think it's just as long as they don't get in more than four contests. So I think he can get into this one and be just fine, and then get into the one we play in November. But I would like to see him get a little bit of work if we can. If not, then get Brock Vandegrift some much needed work to get him some. So Cassidy Thomas joining the chat. Hey, how's it going? I host with her husband on Wednesdays on SEC After Dark. Tell Jake I said what's up. I would just like to see the offense be crisp, be efficient, connect on things they didn't connect on at when we played against Samford. I want to see Blaylock get busy. I want to see Kyrus get some more work. I want to see some of these receivers. Who's going to step up behind AD and McConkey? Like, who's going to be that third guy?
Really good night the other day too. I mean, he, you know, coming back, you know, and doing what he's doing. I mean, pretty much bench press the corner on touchdown. I'm talking about. Just showed up into his ears. Anywhere number one. So you know what that means. He's very, very big. Very big is like what he did but another night.
It seems like the other night, but that was just yesterday.
I know, right?
As we record. Seems like long ago.
You know that we go on Sundays now.
Man.
Just like him, like you said, Kyrus. Blaylock, all y'all get busy Saturday, man. Have a day. Just have go there and have a day. Have fun. You know. You know, even though they'll be like jumping up and down and hollering and screaming. I think that's the thing. Like, when you're having fun and just beating the hell out of people, I mean, sound, you're fundamental, you're doing things right. It's just one of those things, man. It's just you realize that we haven't arrived by any means, but it's dangerous. And I can't wait to, you know, hit our one of the SEC games because teams had to be ready.
Yeah, I mean, we got to keep our edge. I mean, we can't slip, especially with the conference slate that we have coming up. We can't slip. We can't lose our edge. We can't get complacent. And it's easy to do in a game like Kent State, and it's easy to be able to fall into some bad habits, get a little bit lazy in our zone coverage because we know we can rally up, make the tackle, and they're probably never going to get a first down. But we just got to keep that edge, keep the edge that Georgia plays with and this defense plays with, where they still haven't given up a touchdown. The first units, I think the third stringers gave up a touchdown against South Carolina. But just offensively, again, those O-linemen gel. Find a way to break one for your running back. Find a way to give your running back a chance to break a 70-yarder. Like that's the ultimate feather in the cap right there, if you can get your running back to break big runs like that. Because big runs mean big numbers, and big numbers mean, hey, we did our job and we did it well.
Yep, so, absolutely.
But looking in the comment section, yeah, Cassidy was very excited. She probably yelled a lot then, because Georgia scored a lot, and Jake was her husband. They're Bama people. But I think she has a little dog in her too. I think she was explaining her side of the family or something like that. Has some Georgia Bulldog in there. But she was rooting for Georgia for sure, and it was he was looking at her a little sideways. So that's pretty funny. But this spread is 45 points. Do we cover?
I think so. I mean, we scored 48 against South Carolina. I think slightly better than Kent State. So they're about on the same page to where they know they're assigned, especially defensively. If our starting defense goes out there and is pitching a shutout, it should mean something to you to keep shutout going. Now, obviously, some things happen. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, it's one of those things to where, all right, our defense came out there and played the Bulldogs. They didn't give up any points. So let's go out here and keep it a goose egg. So
you keep it zero, the spread gets a little easier to cover.
Well, absolutely. You know, if we go out and score 48 and, like I said, they score 7, I mean, we didn't get it. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
That means we got one touchdown.
Yeah. I mean, you got to get in the 50s. I want to see us get in the 50s anyway. So,
yeah. I mean, Tennessee beat Akron.
Yeah. They had a 47-point spread. Yeah, that was brutal. And I think that was a little personal because Akron players, I think, were playing a little dirty from what I saw on social media. I didn't watch that game, but, you know, Kyler Kurbison and some of the Tennessee people were worried that they were headhunting a little bit, or knee hunting, I guess you should say, hunting for some ACLs.
Mm.
They're trying to harvest a few ACLs, something like that. Maybe, hopefully, Kent State's not that dirty, but if they are, then Kirby might hang 100 on them.
Yeah. Here's your check.
Here's your check and your historically bad loss.
Yes.
Like I kind of hope that there's a dirty play in this game that gets Kirby really fired up.
Probably gonna
Cassidy. Yeah. Cassidy, if you're still learning the players, this is the place to be. You can learn more about Georgia football here. This is the place for you. You come join us every Sunday, and you'll learn all you want. So, yeah, I think they cover. I think Georgia covers 45 points. For this team is obviously not much of a spread. I think Stetson Bennett will get them to about 30. I think Georgia will get to about 42. Quickly in the first half before they pull Stetquavius and then Stetquavius Vic and then Carson Beck will add a few and Brock will add a few. The defense will probably add one, something like that. I think it'll be something like 55-3 or something like that. Some
56 that's what I'm looking at.
Yeah, something like that. So, but that's going to lead us into our other picks. So I've got 6 games. That's number one. So I got 5 others. I got a 6-pack of games right here. See, I wrote it down on my Mike Leach play card. We got 6 other games. I picked a couple conference games. I picked some non-conference games, some matchups I thought were intriguing. We're going to start Clemson -7 at Wake Forest. Now, Wake Forest has Sam Hartman back, so that line probably would have been a lot more had he not been there. Knowing what we know about Wake, knowing what we know about Clemson, is they're still struggling. They really miss Brent Venables. They're really trying to figure out the quarterback situation. If they just put Cade Klubnik in, I think they would cover the spread, but they're not going to do that. They're still stubborn and they want DJ Uiagalelei. So I'm going to take Clemson -7. I just think they have the horses in there. I'm not going to put any real money on this. I'm really not sure. I really, really, really want to pick Wake, but I don't know. Unless you can talk me into it.
I think Wake's defense can confuse DJ a bit. They're still a little bit defensively, but Wake does, you know, with the slow zone, RPO type stuff that they do, unless that thing gets hit in the mouth, like right at the beginning, it's very confusing. It's very, very good at, especially with Hartman coming back and running. With Hartman come back, I mean, that is a game changer in itself. They beat him last year, so I'm going to go Wake to cover on this.
And it's mostly because you don't think Clemson's offense is going to do anything?
I don't think DJ has it. They're missing some pieces they can't protect up front. I don't know who's calling plays. But it's like the play call's there. But DJ he's struggling right now. I don't know what it is. The difference between him and Rattler is the fact that DJ understands it. It's just processing slow for him is what it looks like. It looks like the game's still a little bit too fast for him. But it's just, I don't think their offense can get it done, in my opinion.
You may have convinced me, honestly.
Back. So that offense is going to be coming.
I think you may have convinced me. Yeah. So, well, Don, so far we've only done two. We both picked UGA -45 and he picked Wake +7, and well, I took Clemson -7 because I don't know. I'm a glutton for punishment, I guess. I don't know. Up next is a game that I never thought we'd be picking, but the 3-0. Yeah, you heard that correctly. The 3-0 Kansas Jayhawks, Rock Chalk. 9-point favorites as they host Duke.
I'm taking that.
Now this would Go ahead. I was going to say this is not.
He's doing a job.
Yes.
He's doing a good job, and hell, he is front runner. You know, well, talks are him, so he's doing something very well. Kansas is 3-0 for the first time in history, I believe. Mm-hmm. I might be wrong, but since I've been alive, he's not been really good at football. He's got, man, I mean, 3-0. Can you believe that Kansas is 3?
Yeah.
They made loose to each other on the sideline last week. That's how good they are, right?
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah, this is going to be – yeah. So, absolutely, man. I love Kansas -9 in this matchup. They're freaking rolling, man. It's great. It's great to see. And we got a bonus pick here. Don Play in the comments. He wants us to pick Coastal Carolina -2 over Georgia State. Ooh. That's an intriguing one because Georgia State's been playing really, really well defensively, and obviously they've been putting up some points. I mean, they narrowly lost to South Carolina on the road. They really are. It's kind of sad, but I think I would still go with Coastal on that one. I don't know, Israel, what you think on that, but I would still kind of go Coastal because I think, you know, I have Coastal winning the Sun Belt. So, you know, I think Coastal is just Grayson McCall is, I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in that conference. I think he'll kind of take that thing over.
If this game is in Atlanta, got to go Georgia. If this game is in
Rebeach, I'll tell you exactly where it is. I'll take.
I got to go with Coastal. They're in Myrtle Beach, right?
Yeah, Coastal is, yeah. Or they're like close enough to Myrtle Beach where they can consider it Myrtle Beach. But let's see. I'm looking now where that game is being played. According to Bet Online, that is actually a Thursday night game that is at Georgia, as in Atlanta. Georgia State is +2.5 in Atlanta.
I'm going Georgia State in Atlanta. That game is going to be all the Georgia Tech people are going to go to that game.
Yep. I'm going to stick with Coastal. I'm going to take Coastal and probably the over. The over is 63.5.
Ooh, that's a lot of points.
So, and Don went 2-0 listening to us. Probably listening to you, but so Don, I'll let you choose who you want to listen to. If you listen to Israel, it won't hurt my feelings, I promise. I just want you to
State, man. I think they're playing good football. Sean has got the group rolling. I mean, when you come out in Atlanta across your chest, I mean, that it just hits different.
They got the swag, man. They got the swag. So, Don, I just want you to go 3-0, man. I really don't care if you, you know, I'm just a big believer in Coastal Carolina. I think McCall, like I said, is and Jamie Chadwell as their head coach. I just think they're dialed in. That doesn't mean Georgia State can't come in there and beat the brakes off of them, because they're certainly capable of it. And I certainly would love it. I would love to have a really good Georgia State team. Being an Atlanta kid myself, so there you go. So I guess you could roll the dice and figure it out. I'm taking Coastal. Israel's taking Georgia State. Baby. So, Kansas. And we both took Kansas. If you want to win, I think the lock of this list so far is Kansas. I would go with Kansas. Missouri at Auburn. Auburn 7-point favorites. As bad as Auburn's playing, Missouri's worse. Like,
it's true.
It's the battle of who's going to get fired first in the SEC, Eli Drinkwitz or Brian Harsin. I mean, they're both really bad teams. You know, Auburn just coming off a slaughtering of Penn State, but they did some good things in that game.
Yes, they.
Yeah,
they played some really good defense. Honestly, they really did. Offensively, so they're out there for a long time, and like we talk all the time. If you leave them there long enough, things are going to happen. The only reason that I'm going Auburn on this is because I can't wait for them to play us and we get Harsin the boot. Not that I'm mirrored it once again. I'm a coach, and I never want anybody to hope that I fired. But I don't think people are happy in Auburn with Coach Harsin. I don't think Coach Harsin's happy at Auburn. And –
yeah, I think Harsin wants to get fired.
I think our game is because, you know, we don't like Auburn and things like that. I think our game is the one that's going to be the telltale.
Because it's going to be another 48-7 thumping. and it's going to be at home, too. That's going to be fun. And one thing that really annoyed me with Auburn is that damn quarterback shuffle. You get TJ Finley going, and then you put Ashford in for a play. And then Finley comes back and throws a pick. Like, come on, dude, you were rolling.
Yeah, it's
– you were rolling down the field.
Here's my thing. I think you should do it just like Michigan and just like Ole Miss did. Let one guy have a whole game himself and then see which one does a better job, and then that's the one you roll.
I think they nailed it perfectly.
I think they
did. Michigan won huge with McCarthy. Yeah, they won huge because of it. Because they finally got a guy they can believe in. And Ole Miss, the same with Jackson Dart, which I had no doubt that Jackson Dart was going to be the guy because he was superior talent. Wise. Mm-hmm. The only thing Altmyer had on him was knowledge of the system. And I think he had a really gritty performance in the Sugar Bowl. But talent-wise, he was going to lose out at some point to Jackson Dart. It just was going to happen. It was inevitable. Steve knew it. You know, Steve and I talked about that ad nauseum. Just knew it was going to happen. You want to see my breakdowns, we actually on the Lockdown Ole Miss channel, we did some breakdowns. I did some breakdowns with him of some of the newcomers. So one of them was Jackson Dart, and the other was not really a newcomer, but he's newish with Luke Altmyer, just kind of doing a quarterback comparison there. So, but needless to say, I'm taking Auburn here -7 because even as bad as they are, they're still a lot better than Missouri. And this will be a good slump buster for Auburn. And Cassidy, Jake will also be rooting for the Dogs. I think this is the only game that Jake will root with you for Georgia, because they're playing Auburn.
Absolutely.
And he just loves Auburn. Tell Jake I said War Eagle. Okay. Florida travels to Tennessee. This has become quite the rivalry. A game that Peyton Manning couldn't win for Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Tennessee, get this. This isn't like when I read this, this is as of right now. We're recording this. We're live at this moment on a Sunday. According to Bet Online, Bet Online has Tennessee minus 10.5.
I'm taking it.
Minus 10.5.
Mm-hmm.
Is Florida struggling? Are they struggling that bad?
Did you go back and watch that South Florida game, dog?
I didn't watch the South Florida game.
Without a couple of turnovers, South Florida might have beat them in the swamp, honestly. They probably want to beat them, but it would have been a lot closer.
Okay. Okay.
Pick six.
I mean, this is a home game for Tennessee. They're gonna get juiced up. Hendon Hooker, man, he's a problem.
They're winning. The grass is cut. I mean, Heupel just got a new contract. I mean, extension. So it's gonna be a lot of orange in that state.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm buying it. Now, if this was like week two, I might have been like, okay, Florida might, you know, no. I don't think I was ever on the Florida train, but
they're better.
I do think there was a lot of they're much improved from last year, but that's not saying a whole lot.
That's a tall task to go into Tennessee and beat them. That's right.
At this point in the season. And you're still trying to figure things out. No.
Yeah.
Tennessee 10.5. That might be another easy one. Okay, and our last spread. This is an interesting one, because as much as they're struggling, you have the Notebook versus they're hosting the Jukebox. Notebook is 2.5 points favored at home against the Jukebox, and if you have no clue what I'm talking about, it's Texas A&M hosting Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
Turn that damn Jukebox on versus the Notebook, which that's going to be Jimbo's new nickname, the Notebook, because he's the one that carries. He literally carries whatever brand this is. I don't even know what brand this is. Notebook, you know, the spiral bounds that you buy for like $1 at Office Depot.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, the one you can buy like 100 of them for like 10 cents a piece.
Absolutely. Taking Arkansas. They're going to be pissed off because they didn't play Arkansas football the whole first half last week.
They played like absolute hog stuff.
I thought they'd be more inspired football, but really around. And they got scared. I don't think they like that very much. I know Sam Pittman won as crazy normally is after that. So I'm expecting them to come able to chip with a pissed mentality, and they're going to Troy, Texas A&M.
I don't think
they can't 4 points.
No, and a tired defense is going to be a recipe for disaster against KJ Jefferson.
Yes.
And that offense that's they're finally starting to figure some things out. And I don't think it was a coaching thing. I just think the team just fell asleep at the wheel.
Yeah.
It damn near crashed into a brick wall.
They came in complacent, you know, after a big game against South Carolina. They come in and they're chilling. They're like, oh, this is just, you know, this team from out west. We'll be all right. Shoot. The boys came out firing. And they got hit in the mouth. Like, oh, they are for real right here.
Okay. You know, I guess we're going to have to.
They finally figured it out. But, you know, I don't think that's happening against 6 A&M.
No.
Because. They're going to beat you stuff.
No. I mean, this is a game that they haven't been able to get, really. They've come up narrowly short in a lot of instances under Sam Pittman. with Texas A&M and games that they should have and could have won. They didn't. So I think this is going to be a good one for them to get because A&M is struggling offensively. They're going to have an exhausted defense that won't be able to stop KJ Jefferson in the second half. And I think Arkansas will end up rolling. And all Arkansas has to do is win because they're underdogs. So I'm taking the Hogs as well. So as we wrap this thing up, to recap the picks that we have thrown out there, Don, if there's any one of them that you want for us to pick that we didn't cover, go ahead and put that in the chat now, or you can DM us. It doesn't matter. At TroopStar28, at Believe in Dogs, at Coach Burton36 on Twitter. UGA -45. We both took that one. Clemson -7 at Wake. I took Clemson. Israel took Wake, so take your pick there. Duke at Kansas. Kansas -9. We both took the Jayhawks there, which I never thought I would take the Jayhawks to go 4-0, but here we are. Missouri at Auburn. Auburn favored by 7. We both took Auburn because we're smart. Florida at Tennessee -10.5. Could it happen? Yeah. Could Tennessee only win by 7? Yeah, but they won't. They'll win by 2 scores. Arkansas at A&M. A&M's favored by 2.5. I'm not buying it. And then Coastal. I'm taking Coastal -2 at Georgia State on Thursday. And my man Israel here is taking Georgia State +2 at the crib. So if there's any other games that we left out, let us know. We will definitely jump on those. But in the meantime, you're going to have to find us on social media if you want to connect. Again, I gave you the stuff. It's the link tree is in our bio as well for all of the full episodes. The full episode will be on the audio platforms tomorrow about mid-morning. And then you will see these segments posted various times during the week. You'll see our recap posted probably tomorrow. You'll see our pick segment probably posted Thursday since we have a Thursday game in there. And then you'll see our preview probably posted Saturday morning. And you'll see that rolling. So if you want all the content, go to our YouTube channel for the extra bonus content that will hopefully feed you to our full episode, which will also live on YouTube and feed you to our full episode on the podcast platform as well. Find us on social media, like us, subscribe, all of that good stuff. Follow Israel at TroopStar28 on all platforms. You can check us out also on TikTok. There's clips that go up on TikTok, shorter clips there. At Believe Network also tweets out. I send him a segment every week for him to tweet out. He does a good job of tweeting it out. So find that, like that. And just jump on the train, man. It's a slow growing process. We came from nothing, and here and we are. Now we're here, and the elevator still has some floors to go up. We're certainly not done, and we're certainly not going to slow down. As you see with our ever evolving presence online. So we hope you enjoyed what you saw. If you did, leave us a comment again. Subscribe, give us that 5-star rating, and we hope you stay with us. But for Israel, I'm Corey. This is the Believe in Georgia Dogs podcast presented by Bet Online on the Believe Network. We will see you back here next week after a hopefully very inspiring performance against Kent State. And as always, go Dogs.
Go Dogs.